Welcome to Light Being Found. My love Jason was in the U.S. Army. 20 days after I found him, I started documenting my journey through video and audio recordings. Join me as I share my journey as a suicide loss survivor, from struggling to find the light to light being found. Hello, loves. Thank you for joining me today. Welcome back. This is Finding the Light, Light Being Found, Season 1, Episode 9. So I'm going to share two different things with you today. One is a cell phone video I made, and then the second is a voice message I received. So in the first one, the video, I'm in the kitchen. And I'm talking about never-ending emptiness that's painful. I also kind of go into a moment where I'm talking about heat. This was a choice. It was so dark for him inside that he chose to leave. And you kind of see me having some emotions about that. Part of what's interesting in watching these videos is watching how I'm navigating all of this. It's, I don't want to say I'm entertained, but in a way I'm like, Yeah. So it's interesting to see the different things that I'm doing and using as coping mechanisms and with my body language. And I think in the first or second episode, I mentioned The Body Keeps the Score. That's really such an amazing book to take a really in-depth further understanding of what is happening with your mind-body connection. When you're going through different things and experiencing different things, it really provided a lot of deep insights for me and understanding, especially because I have an analytical side of me that really wants to put understanding to things and get clarification on the depth of the how or the why or what makes sense, so I can wrap my head around it and then move on to whatever it is that's next for me to want to understand. Just in life in general, that's how I am. Another thing in this video I mentioned is that I have such gratitude for being the one that found him. I know that that is something that is not necessarily everyone's truth on finding their loved one if they were the one that found them. I'm sure it goes the other way too. I do know that if someone had told me that this had happened, that I would have not believed them. I would have not believed them for nothing. To this day, 9.5 years later almost, well, it will be on Veterans Day, which is the whole entire season is going to be released on Veterans Day, which is in fact today, if I'm looking at it that way. Still to this day, I have a family member that calls and says, I don't think he did it. Still. And that, like, that's okay. That's their truth and that's how they feel. And I'm okay now that I'm in a place that I can receive that and say, well, here's what I feel and think, and be okay with however the exchange goes. But that's just a nod that I'm given to, if I did not find him, I might be in that same place of how, no way, I don't believe this. And so I really have just complete sheer gratitude of being able to get to be the one who found him, because I think it made my journey of losing him 1,000% different had I not found him. in a lot of different ways. So I touch on that really quick in the video too. So let's get to the video.
Of what is happening is there's just like this never ending, like, there's there's this emptiness. And it's painful. There's this emptiness and it's painful. He got that dark. Got that dark. But he chose this. That he chose this. What? Oh, wow. I was trying to say earlier that I'm certified in body language and to have glimpses of seeing myself outside of myself during this time of shock and just sheer emotion overload, that it's been interesting. It's been interesting to see what I've been doing. I'm like, I've been aware of it and I haven't cared at all. But like my hands and feet and whole body. Like it would just ill me to be in my skin. I can't explain what that feeling is, but I know that I'll be able to identify it when I see it. It's just like the sheer quantity and quality, the emotion and hormones in my body and what they're doing is crazy. Like, I just think functioning is just weird. And it's insane that it's all controlled by thoughts. It's so insane that it's all controlled by thoughts, you know? If I hadn't found him hanging there, if instead he left, meow. that would have killed me, not knowing where he had gone or what had happened. I tend to have like these incredibly intense emotional. This is Doja saying hi.
Doja. Doja.
These intense emotional outbursts. And then it's a little different when I pull up the camera.
All right. So, in the second thing that I'm going to share today, I totally forgot about this too until I started going through all of my everything that I have saved. Like I said, when I'm looking through things right now, I'm looking at them in chronological order. So I'll have cell phone videos, computer recordings, screenshots, voice messages, voice calls, a lot of different things, but they're all kind of in chronological order. So it's been nice to kind of unfold each day by day and see what was happening. And this is relatively early on. I think this is June 4th, I received this message. I will let you know right now that this can be triggering. I know that in everything that we're talking about with regards to being a suicide loss survivor, there's a lot of personal things being discussed in these videos that are can feel quite deep to many people. And there's also some experiences that we are mirroring back and forth to each other with regards to how we felt about certain events that could be triggering in and of themselves. And I understand that. So I don't give that every time I get on here, although there's a disclaimer down below in the notes as well, just to let you know, like, this is a tough journey. And please tend to your self-care and pay attention when you are not feeling okay and reach out for support. With that being said, I'm going to share a voice message, and it definitely can be triggering. During this time frame, I was in a group with some other colleagues also doing body language, and we were getting together weekly and discussing different things. And they also became a big source of support for me because I had to miss the first weekly group meeting. I missed the week that I found Jason. And so everybody in my group meetings understood what was going on with me. So even though they were not my circle, they were an extension of what I had going on in my life at that time that kept me in mind. So I kept getting these little reach outs or messages to me during this time frame, which was so like a lifeline, because as you already know, I felt so alone. A lot of that has to do with feeling alone with regards to like a lack of love and loving energy from my circle, from my immediate people that I give all my time and energy and love to, with that in mind and in that regards. But I did have some amazing support through colleagues that are also body language trainers. And through this time in my life, I really forged some deep down, beautiful, amazing relationships. And one in particular, which I'm sure you'll get to hear a lot about over the coming seasons. She's very special and near and dear to my heart and just so beautiful. Getting back to this voice message. So I received this from a colleague, and he was sharing with me a time in his life that he went through where he had experienced this feeling of feeling suicidal, to protect his identity. This is a voice message that has been an AI voice over, so it is not his voice, but it is his message. All right, I'm gonna play it now.
Okay, so I don't know how long this is going to be. So I'll apologize while I start off. So I'm going to tell you a story. I was in an airplane about 3 years ago coming back from New York City. And for the last few months before this trip, I had been awake almost every night for hours. I couldn't sleep. I had gotten it in my mind each and every night and every day. I couldn't work. That I was just an incredibly horrible person. And my mother, my wife, my family, my friends, everyone I knew would be much better off without me around. And it's weird to look back on. I remember thinking as I sat in this plane, I was in the middle seat of an exit aisle and I was consumed with all these thoughts that I just needed to go. And, life would be much better for everyone else who knew me if I was not around. And I remember before this period in my life, when I thought of anybody who would take their life, that it seemed selfish. And for me, when I was in that place, it felt to me like the most selfless thing that I could do was to give to others their freedom from me. And I had convinced myself of that. And even as I look back on this now, I mean, it was so real and powerful for me. And it's a part of who I am. And I don't even understand it today, but I understood it then. It made complete sense. It felt right. It was the thing that I needed to do. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I was going to. This plane ride was going to kill me because I couldn't wait to get off the ground or on the ground and just get it over with. I don't know if it was an angel or what, but I happened to be sitting next to a person who, as it turns out, was a magician. And I noticed him doing some things with some cards sitting next to me, and we struck a conversation. And through that, and some of the things that he told me, what he had done and what he showed me, this childlike wonderment sort of emerged from within. And somehow I snapped out of this. And like I said, it's never happened to me before. It hasn't happened since. But I can tell you it was powerful. It was real for so long and it felt so right. And I share this because if you're looking to find answers or seek to understand, I don't know if it's possible because I don't understand. I just know it happened or was going to happen, but didn't. It wasn't anyone I knew's fault. No one could have done anything. It was just such a weird period for me. So there's nothing that you would know or could do or otherwise to prevent what happened. I think I don't remember if I said this already. There's only one other person on the planet that knows this. I'd appreciate it if you didn't share it, but I'm sharing it with you, hopefully to let you know how much I understand and how much I feel for you and your situation, but for you to know this isn't you and that you too will find your angel and move on. Reach out anytime, call me, send me a note, anything you ever need, I'm here for you.
I get all the feels in listening to that message for so many reasons. First off, We were a part of a group that was part of a bigger group that had multiple groups meeting. So I feel confident that his identity will not be revealed in any way. And again, like I said, I AI voiced it over, and so it is not his voice. I think that I want to touch on a lot of different things that I felt in getting this message. One of the big things is what a gift that he shared this with me. And to other suicide loss survivors that are out there, it's one of the reasons why I am sharing with you this message is I had so many unanswered questions. And also, like I shared with you, I was in this never-ending circular cross-examination of self. It was never ending. That went on like that for a really long, long time in trying to work this all out in my emotional body. And for him to have the vulnerability and the openness and the love to share his story with me in a way to shed some type of light on it for me was such a gift. And in the voice message, he touches on something that was also quite a part of our story. In my college days, I had a great opportunity to be in a few different classes of Dr. Bob Bauer, and one of them was death and dying. And so the whole entire class was about understanding what happens at death and what things need to be in play when someone's dying and what are their wishes and really getting comfortable with death in and of itself. So going to the cemetery, going to people's gravesites, going to the crematorium, whatever that word is. Talking to different individuals in the funeral home that run the funeral home and how everything goes, talking to your loved ones, finding out what their wishes are. And so I've had this instilled in me for quite a long time where I've had these conversations with my loved ones and vice versa. They understand my wishes and desires around and regarding death as well. And so Jason and I have had this conversation quite a bit. And we talked in great detail about suicide. And we both came from a place where we had felt that it was a selfish act. Now, we were together for almost 7 years, so this was in the beginning and in the middle of our relationship where that was an absolute for both of us. And getting towards the end, there had to be some type of a shift within him. And in hindsight, I write a list where I felt like he was sharing different things that didn't penetrate, but I feel like there were ways that he was letting me in on him feeling that maybe that viewpoint had changed a little and that maybe there was an out to what he was feeling. But I wasn't taking it like that since I had the foundation that we both had felt and for years that it was a selfish act. So in these different conversations we would have about this, I just took them as different conversations that we were having. We would talk about absolutely everything. And I remember like watching like amazing deep movies or documentaries and then just staying up all night in bed, talking about all these different scenarios and what our thoughts were. It's one of my fondest memories of getting to have the time that I had with him. And so when my colleague talks about this in his voice message from selfish to selflessness, it was really important for me to hear. And it was such a gift to get to hear that from someone that is coming from that perspective of feeling at a moment in time that they did not want to be here and that their perspective of the act in itself, taken by oneself, had changed. And so that is one of the reasons why I'm sharing this voice message with you. I think it is a really important message to hear. And for me, it was a bit of a help and a pivot in transforming some of my views I had and why. You know, when I first found Jason, I did not know what to do. And the reason why I did not know what to do in regards to who I share what with is that I did not want his memory to not be an honor. And I immediately felt that I can't have told anybody that it was by suicide, that he took his life. I was still beside myself to even believe that that had happened. Had I not found him, I'm sure I would have been challenging it. Oof, lost my train of thought there. Oof. Sometimes I think that all of this still hits really close to home, you know? And it always will. It always will. This is a journey. It's gonna include healing always for the rest of my life. And I'm in a really great place, but being in a really great place doesn't change that I feel these things, and I am that person in that place, and I can easily remember all of this. Yeah, so. Whew. So when I found him, I did grapple with that. Of course, not sharing immediately with family members that needed to know for service, but I'm like, who about, you know, my extended friendships and even clients that had met him, you know, my extended world, not my inner circle world. And I grappled with what will I say? I even felt like it would be okay for me to share that he had left me, and which he actually literally left me, but in a different sense, that he had left me, because I did not want to share that he had taken his life. And for me, that meant that there was somewhere in there that the vantage point of someone hearing that would take away honoring the beautiful, gorgeous man he was. And getting this voice message was, like I keep saying, a gift, because that was a very poignant discussion that we had multiple times over the years about the act of suicide and selfishness. And yeah, so I think that was a big part of what I wanted to share about that voice message. And I hope that in a way it was able to bring a little bit of insight to you as well. I know on this journey for me, I was like a walking billboard. Anytime I left, people could tell something was wrong, because something was indeed very wrong. And so it opened up conversations with people everywhere. And I think that one of the biggest gifts for me in being a walking billboard and being able to just share exactly what was going on when people were asking me is the response I got from people. And I think also it opened up a safe space for people to share their own journeys and stories, like the voice message I got that I shared. I had so many deep, deep, beautiful, beautiful conversations with people from very close friends that I had no idea about some of these things to complete strangers about how suicide has touched their lives, like directly or indirectly, either by losing someone or being suicidal themselves. What being a walking billboard did was open the conversation up to be a safe place for what the majority of us have, which is a story that is relatable to suicide loss in some form, whether it's losing someone or going through a struggle yourself and not wanting to be here. And that's another reason why this is so important to me, to have these conversations where I am sharing my viewpoint about all of this. It's because these conversations are part of life. We're all human, and while we're here, we're also experiencing some type of struggle as well at some point in our lives, and some of that comes with trauma. And so no matter what the trauma is that we've experienced it, there's an underlining thread, like I keep saying, within all of this and everyone that unites together. And it's how to move through and with the pain to the other side, how to heal. And these conversations are so important to be able to have, and being able to have your energy in motion with whatever it is that you're feeling and going through is so important. You know, having an emotion come up, it takes us 90 seconds for our bodies to have it come up and in and out and for us to actually feel it. So the part that lingers is the mental connection to it that holds on to whatever it is we're going through, either the expectation or an array of different things. But if we don't ever allow ourselves to have that energy come up and out and to be felt and to give ourselves grace as we feel that pain and navigate it, then we haven't started the healing. And that is so important for us to collectively show up for one another and have that safe space for each other, so we can do the work and begin the healing. So much love to you. All right, now I'm going to share today's story with you. All right, here is another page from our book. This one says, "We'd frequent Shenanigans or Salties." Though that is two different locations here in the Pacific Northwest that have amazing, delicious food with with emphasizing their specialty in seafood, for their seafood brunch. He'd get multiple plates of oyster to eat and a side of clams, mussels, and snow crab. He'd always say, "I didn't eat enough to justify the price." I'd say, "Good thing you're eating up all the oysters then, huh, hun?" In one of his oysters, there was a little whitish red pulsating attachment on the inside. He was so grossed out that it was humorous. Wish I still had the photos we took. I forgot we took photos. I did. I wish I still had them. It turns out that it was a baby crab. I don't know why that was hard to say. It turns out it was a baby crab egg. What? One time I got him lobster tails for one of the first meals I made him. And in one of them, there was this black stuff. He was so grossed out again. He was so funny about his food. It turns out that they were lobster babies, which is a delicacy. And I totally forgot about these memories until just now. And I actually love this picture of us, and I like the emotion he has in his face. He would say that he felt his favorite asset about his body was his eyes, and that's what people told him all the time. Definitely beautiful. They were just so deep, such a rich, deep, dark brown. All right, now we're going to segue into today's quote. It is by James Baldwin. "I imagine one of the reasons people cling to their hates so stubbornly is because they sense, Once hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with the pain. Part of what this quote also brings up to me is there are a lot of people that stay in the place of their trauma and don't do any work to get out of it, because being in that place is a place of comfort for them. It also, I remember I shared with you early on in the first or second episode, another resource that I just absolutely loved is I was navigating my healing journey, and that was a podcast called What the Grief. The ladies are funny and they bring a lot of great topics to light, and it was very insightful for me. And one of their episodes, they had the topic be about people that stay in the grieving, this grieving, never ending grieving circle, and they don't want to get out of it. And I remember hearing that and I just felt like it was so absurd. I'm super curious to see the recording I made on that, because I know I came home and was like, what? Who wants to stay here? Like, this place is for the birds. But I can understand that not only can it be being in a place of comfort to stay in that place of trauma within the grieving, but being in that place of comfort also can be what feels like a connection to the loved one that is gone now. So once, not only are you, if you go through the trauma and go through beginning your healing journey and wanting to move out of that place and that vibration, yes, the only way to do that is to move with the pain, to that, that's the only way to get to the other side of it. And in addition to that, in moving through the pain, there could be a fear that is present that there would be a disconnect of the connection to the loved one that had passed, because part of the trauma and the fear with the pain that's right under that trauma is what keeps a sense of destitute in a way, which also can be relatable to something that is a link that still pulls and connects you to that storyline. So that's one of the reasons why this quote really resonates with me. And it also brings up all those different thoughts that I just shared with you of people that go through this journey and they want to sit and stay in the trauma. They do not want to leave. They want to fester in it and just completely stay in it all the time. Or they want to bury that which you bury rots. They want to bury it within themselves, and then that comes out in dis-ease in all other parts of the body. And some of them can definitely be anger, sadness, depression, all types of different things. But if you're constantly having to work through and deal with some type of an ailment that is happening and being reflected in your body as dis-ease because that which you have buried is rotted, it keeps like this circular pattern going of, oh, all my energy has to tend to this thing and that thing and this thing, and I can't get to, you know, doing that work because I have all these other things going on. But in actuality, in a lot of people, I believe that because you have not tended to that, that is why you have all these other things going on. And again, that it could be a place of familiarity and comfort to always be in that place of energy, because the underlying fear of not being in that place, which has a familiarity, can be so grand that it becomes like a place where one can be nervous to venture to. So that is my thoughts on that. If you are listening to the podcast and you want to see the video portion of it, Please head over to at Light Being Found on YouTube. You'll also be able to click on and see my celebration and tribute of love video that I made for us as well. And then if you are tuning in to watching your videos on Spotify, you can find the video there as well. If anything in today's podcast really brought some emotions up in you or a story that you would like to share as well, please leave me a message in the comments at Light Being Found on YouTube or Instagram. Until then, I'm sending you so, so, so much love, and I'm giving you these big, massive hugs, and please be gentle with yourself and the words that you're sharing. Let go of the expectations that you are having on how this grieving journey looks. Lean into the pain, dance with it, accept it, embrace it. It is a beautiful part of your journey and story. And love yourself a little bit along this journey too. Do some self-care. All right, wherever you are, I'm sending you massive love and lots of healing. All my love. Take good care.